Turn to Psalm 119. I'm going to read verse 12. Psalm 119, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that even this evening, you would teach us your word, you would write it upon our hearts, and make us more like Jesus through our time together tonight, singing and praying and now studying your word. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, completely opposite from what I did last week, where I took my first point and spent the whole time, I'm going to give you I'm just going to mention my other 5 points, and don't worry, that sounds like 5. I'm just going to give you a point and a sentence or two about it. I'm going to keep it short tonight, but I reserve the right to come back to any of these points in more depth. But it'll be kind of good just to hear them all. We're talking about reading the Bible. We're talking about, well, we just pray. We're saying to the Lord, bless you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. How are we going to do that? How is he going to teach us his statutes? But through his word, his written word, which he has given us, which we have, which we've been singing about even here, even this night, and even those hymns that you chose, because I knew I was going to come and teach tonight. I was thinking about how each of those hymns, many of the ones that we sung tonight, were reminding us of just our growing more and more in the Lord. Last time we considered the Bible teaching of others. Tonight we're going to consider 5 things. I'm just going to kind of go through them. By the way, I was thinking, I realize we get at points in life for various reasons and at various ages where reading the Bible is harder at times. And you know what? You can listen to it. You can get any translation you want and listen to it. So what I'm going to say tonight would work just as well listening or reading it out loud to one another. So I want to just acknowledge that. And one of the things we're wanting to do in this is thinking about the Bible, thinking about prayer, thinking about fellowship, is that we grow in our, you might say, spirituality or our piety. John Calvin said, piety is that reverence, joined with the love of God, which the knowledge of his benefits produces. So it's both the reverence for God, the love for God, as we come to know him more, see all that he has for us, that we might grow in that. Okay, so last time I said the Bible teaching of others. Tonight, I want you to think about this, because this is how you can go home and think about this in your own life. Where am I doing this? Where am I not doing this? How can I improve or grow in these areas? Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating, memorizing, and applying. So those are the 5 things. So how do we grow in the Word of God? How do we know Christ better? Through reading the Bible. Now, I'm just going to say a word or two about this. Again, and I already mentioned, you can also listen to it, or we can read it to one another. Again, I've been kind of, you know, reading different devotional books, different guides on how to grow in this way. And obviously, we read, and we tend to, and again, that's why I'm dividing it up into reading the Bible, and the next we're talking about Bible study. We're reading to get the overall flow of what God teaches us all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So we read it. When we're just reading, we're not trying to memorize or meditate or study. We're just reading it. We're letting it come, you know, before our eyes, into our minds, into our hearts. So we read it. We read for breadth. We study for depth. Now, one writer says, and again, I don't know how he figured this, maybe he just took an average reading time for us, that it would take 70 hours to read the Bible cover to cover. I don't know if y'all think y'all could do it faster or if it would be slower. That's what he said, 70 hours. So you kind of, if again, a lot of us like to do the read through the Bible in a year plan. I don't know how that would work out. But so honestly, y'all, that's really what we read it. We have it. We have no reason not to read our Bibles when we have them in many different translations, some, you know, that can make it easier to understand if we need it. So we read it, and again, you have to have a plan. Okay, there's all kinds of plans to do it, and I just would commend that to you, and I would remind you, Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we need to read it. Psalm 119:105, one y'all already know. I remember it from Bible school, because I think that was in the pledge to the Bible. It was two verses, right? I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we need to read it. But we also need to study it. Reading for breadth, study for depth, so we can go deeper. Now, we can do this in various ways. Being here tonight, you're, of course, studying through my teaching. When we gather other times, we study it through small groups, Sunday school being one of those times. One of the best ways to grow in Bible study is when we have a small group and we're studying it on our own so that we can go together and then share what we're learning. We need a good leader to do that who can lead us and guide us and kind of keep us on track, keep us on the right path. But that's one way. I don't know if many of y'all have done that, but studying it so that you can teach it is one of the ways that you go deeper and that you learn more. The Bereans, do I have that? Yeah, I have that verse here. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews, that is in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now at that time they had the Old Testament. The New Testament was being written. So it is a unique time in history when we're reading in the New Testament. But nevertheless, as the apostles and disciples were teaching, of course, they were teaching from the Old Testament, and then Paul and Peter and such were actually writing the Bible, and over time that was sort of accepted into the church as scripture. The Bereans went home and studied it and said, hey, I want to make sure what they said was true. I commend you. When I have preached here or taught on a Wednesday night, go home and study it for yourself and make sure what I said was true. If you find some questions, come back and ask me so I can make sure that I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bereans, I think, are often our model. We ask the help of the Holy Spirit when we're studying the Bible. I'm going to read it just a few extra. I might as well let the Bible is the best guide for teaching you how to study the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and following gives us some insight into God's provision of the Holy Spirit to help us as we read and study and meditate and memorize the Bible. I'm going to read a few of these here. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, he says, he has been talking about the fact that in their foolishness they crucified Christ, the Lord of glory. But he says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And so he says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Very simple argument. God's Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, knows God. And so because he knows God, he can teach us. God has now given us his written word. He's given us his written word. We say, Holy Spirit, help me, just like it says. Help me understand the things given us by God, that I may have heavenly spiritual wisdom. So we ask for God's Holy Spirit to help us as we study. One writer puts it like this, talking about Bible reading. Again, he's not denigrating Bible reading. He's talking about Bible study. He says, raking is easy, but all you get is leaves. Digging is hard, but you might find diamonds. Sometimes we rake. We read the Bible. We just read it, just straight through, verse after verse after verse after verse. But sometimes we stop and we go deeper, that we might find a diamond. And so one of the ways that can help your study is a study Bible. I don't know if you'll have the Reformation study Bible. There is a new revised version of it. It has wonderful study notes, wonderful articles. It is now even in, I have it in the ESV. It's also in the New King James. I'll bring this up again. It's coming out just this month, the New King James. So if you prefer the New King James, you can get it. Here is the same one, except mine's in the ESV. I highly recommend this. And the font's pretty big for a Bible with as much. It's not quite as big as the previous version. They added more notes and made the font a little smaller, but it's very readable. So a study Bible is very helpful in our study. Now, I want to talk just for a minute about memorization. What I say, memorization, meditation, and application. And when we're getting to memorization and meditation, let's see. David Mathis uses this illustration. He says, reading the Bible is like watching a film, watching moving pictures. But meditation and memorization is more like when you stop and you study a frame. Study the frame and see all the colors and the hues and the different foreground and the background. So just using that, we have watching a movie as it just flows by, or stopping and then studying the frame in more detail. That's what he says memorizing and meditation are more about. Memorizing, right here in our verse, when I turned away from it, Psalm 119, he gives us a verse for memorizing, or about memorizing. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We don't just memorize it for the sake of memorizing it. In this case, he's saying that I might not sin against you. We also memorize it that we might know him better, that we might have, what we'll talk about later, fighter verses to go to when we need the Lord and we just don't have a Bible in front of us to open. We have his verses in our heart and our mind. Let me just say about memorization, as I was studying it for the sake of teaching you, and as I'm sort of starting my own sort of memorization plan right now, here's what, again, I'm talking about David Mathis here. He suggests have some diversity in the scriptures that you memorize. I'm using, buddy, what is it?
Navigators.
The Navigators plan. It's a topical plan. It takes verses and puts them according to a topic. Right now, I've memorized assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer, assurance of victory, assurance of guidance, and one more. Assurance of forgiveness. That's where I see. So I can think about those when I'm out running. I go over them in my mind. I have a verse that corresponds to each of those topics. So have a diversity of verses. Think about it through the day. Because of my good buddy, he gave me this. I have cards in here. I know, y'all, I'm kind of behind. Most people would be using their phones now. You would use your phone to memorize. I'm kind of an old timer. I prefer this. But I'm sure if you have a smartphone, you can, besides the Bible, you can have memorization plans on there. Pray about it. Pray about your verses. Pray through them. That's going to be a future study about how we can pray the Bible. So diversity. Think about it through the day, different times of the day. Right before you do this, right after you do this. Pray about it. Think about the passage so you can understand it and it becomes a part of your life. And then also relate it to the gospel. You don't want it to be abstracted from the bigger story that the Bible is telling. So we want to memorize it. We want to hide it in our heart. Psalm 119:16b, I will not forget your word. That's what the psalmist says right here in our section. I will not forget your word. And then meditation. Now, this is going to take a deeper study in the future. But let me just say a few things about it tonight. And he says here in Psalm 119:15, I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. A few things about meditation. Meditation is deep thinking. This is Donald Whitney. Deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in the scriptures. So deep thinking, taking it, pondering, taking a shorter, a phrase or a verse or two or three verses. Thinking deeply on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in the scriptures for the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. We want to understand God's word. We want to apply it into our lives. We want to have it in our hearts so we can pray. It gives us I'll tell you, I've been doing this lately, this praying through the Bible. Donald Whitney has a little book. He's been talking about it for years in his other books, but he wrote just a little book, Praying the Bible. It's really helpful when you're just saying, Lord, what do I pray about? You let the Bible be your guide. And we'll talk about that in the future. Puritan Thomas Watson said this, the reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. The reason we come away so cold from the reading of the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. Again, David Mathis would tell us the way he does is he reads his one chapter or his four chapters or his whatever your reading plan is for the day. But something will usually strike him, he says, as he does it. And after he finishes those four chapters or five chapters or eight chapters, whatever you're reading, he'll go back to those two or three verses and he'll think about them more deeply. Roll them over in his mind. Think about what they're saying. Figure out kind of where they fit in the context of the passage. And then that will lead him into prayer. That's what he calls what Thomas Watson is saying, the warming of myself. I'm warming myself on God's, just a little nugget of God's truth. And that warms me toward the Lord. And then he said his prayer is much more robust. William Bates, I believe another Puritan, said this, the great reason why our prayers are ineffectual is because we do not meditate before them. So again, it helps you to pray after God's own will because we've meditated on his word. And so again, meditation is posturing. It's not so much a posture of our body, okay, sitting on the floor in a, with your legs crossed or, you know, like Eastern religions. Meditation is a posture of the heart and of the mind toward God as we roll his truth round and round in our mind and in our heart, asking him, his Holy Spirit, to press it upon us. Finally, we want to apply the Bible. And I think we have a little bit of an application in our larger section of Psalm 119. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I mean, right there, we're confronted with the things of this world, some of which will be temptations. How do we handle them? By having God's word. I mean, what did Jesus do? This is a regular example. When the devil tempted Jesus, all three temptations that are recorded for us, Jesus had a word. I mean, in some of those cases, the devil was twisting God's word against Jesus. Jesus responded with a word from God that was obviously in his heart and in his mind. So we want to apply it in our lives. Now applying it, again, we'll talk about this again later, but just in brief tonight, applying is doing this. Just here's some things to help you. Based on the scripture I just read, what should I believe and who should I be? What should I believe? What is it telling me about God that I ought to believe? What are the promises I'm finding? Who should I be? What kind of person should I be based on this passage? Or just taking that 2 Timothy passage that says that the scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We can ask ourselves, how or what does this passage teach me? How does this passage rebuke me? How does this passage, what are some things, how it's correcting my way of thinking? How will this passage, Lord, how would you have this passage train me? Just ask the questions as you read. What should I believe? Who should I be? How does it teach, rebuke, correct, and train me? So how do we grow through the Word of God? By reading it, by studying it, by memorizing it, by meditating on it, and by applying it. 2 Timothy 3:15, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, Paul told Timothy, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The scriptures make us wise to salvation. 1 Peter 2:2, God tells us what the word, he tells us about this word. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Colossians 3:16a, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom. Here is what Benjamin Francis. He was a particular Baptist. In 1778, in a letter he wrote to the Baptist Association, here's what he said about God's Word. "We earnestly beseech you carefully to guard against all pernicious errors in doctrine, experience, and practice, to bring all your religious sentiments, feelings, and actions to the unerring test of God's Word, our only infallible rule in matters of religion. Buy the truth, cost what it will, and sell it not for all the world." That's what he wrote to his fellow ministers and elders at the association. God's Word is what will protect us from errors. It should guide our doctrine, our experience, our practice, our feelings, our actions. Bring them all before God's Word. But don't forget, the biggest reason that we read is, and again, don't follow along here. I'm gonna go to three places in John just to close. Here's the big, all those things I said tonight are what things that we want to do. But here's why. Okay? John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." We want to see Jesus. That's why we read the Bible, because that's where we see Jesus. And then Jesus, when He prayed for us, the night before He died for our sins, He prayed this. He said to He's speaking to the Father. He said, "This is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." If we know Jesus, then we know the Father, and we have eternal life. And then the things that Ron was talking about and praying about really become effectual in our lives. Whatever our circumstances, we can have peace and joy because we have eternal life. And then finally, John tells us why he wrote his gospel. John 20:31. "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in His name." And so we read it, we study it, we memorize it, we meditate on it, and we apply it, that we may know Jesus and become more like Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. We bless You, O Lord, and ask that You would teach us Your statutes. Thank You that we can sing about it even tonight. And help us as we go to be encouraged that You are with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We pray this in Christ's name.